Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
Got us some old school baseball played at American Family Field tonight. Over 3 hours of baseball. Yeah, that is old school with all the pitch clock and whatnot. 12 innings of baseball and the St. Louis Cardinals prevail over the Milwaukee Brewers in game two of this three-game set. The final score was 7-4. Welcome to Brewers Extra Innings. I am Bob Brainerd, in for Dom on this Tuesday night, joined by former Brewer hurler, the lefty from Kewaunee, Jerry Augustine. And Augie, even though Milwaukee gets four runs on only five base hits, they somehow have a chance to win this baseball game. That's kind of typical of Brewer baseball this year. Like, even when they lose a game, they still can almost win the game, can't they?
Yes, they can, and it all goes by the way this team plays. And, you know, you look at this ball club, and why is it so successful? And it's, you got to play successful because you got to play three styles of baseball. You got to have the good pitching, you have the good bullpen, you got to play the solid defense, and you got to get some good offense. And it just seems like the Brewers have got an opportunity, have that opportunity or the ability to come up with big hits when they need it. And, you know, look at tonight's game. After the fifth inning, they didn't have a hit until Adames got that big hit in the 11th. So they just stay with the game, and it's all about, tonight was all about the bullpens, a battle of the bullpens. The bullpens both pitched very well up until the last inning. Peguero got the ball game get away a little bit, but the Cardinals' bullpen was excellent tonight. The Brewers' bullpen was excellent tonight. It was a really good ball game.
Augie, I don't know if this is a good comp or not, but you can tell me because you were on the Brewer teams in the 80s, especially the 82 team that made it all the way to the World Series and played these same St. Louis Cardinals. But you tell me or yes or no. It's to that point, it seems like it doesn't always have to be the offense. It doesn't always have to be the pitching. Was it similar to that in 81, 82 as well, where it wasn't always, you know, Harvey's wall bangers, we have to outscore the opponents. Sometimes it's the pitching, sometimes it's the offense. What say you?
I think baseball is kind of a sport that when two teams go out and they play good, solid baseball, and that means that they play good in all aspects of the game. And it isn't always the offense. It isn't always the defense. And it isn't always the pitching. But they have ways of making little things happen positively. And I think that's what you see in this Brewer ball club this year. They go out, and we look at the game the other day. They scored 9 runs on 6 hits. Went out, and they scored 4 runs on 5 hits. That ability to get on base, to have good at-bats, to get on base, and to do things that you have to do, move runners over, get runners in. It's not always a home run. Sometimes it's manufacturing, but they do it both ways. And I think that's a sign of a good ball club that can not only manufacture runs, but does have those days when they hit the 3-run homer, which is one of the famous things that Earl Weaver liked in the game of baseball.
Oh, yeah. Was it that way with those teams in the Brewer teams in the 80s, Augie, where sometimes it was Vuk and Caldwell and the bullpen, but other times it was Cooper and Yount and Molitor? I mean, was it that way for you guys in the 80s? Sometimes it's the hitting, sometimes it's the pitching.
Oh, very much so. I think every team that plays well throughout a year has to have periods of time when you play very well in all aspects of the game. And I think that's one thing that when Craig Counsell came over here, he wanted to build a reputation that this team was not only going to be a good pitching team and they were going to build their pitching staff, and they've done a great job of that, but they were going to be solid on the defensive side. And I think that's one thing in baseball that we don't always look at. It's the defensive side of the game. With the good defense, you make the other team really work hard for the runs. And I think that's one thing that this ball club has done all year long, is if you score runs off the Brewers, you're going to hit the home runs. Those are going to happen. But you better be able to hit and run. You better be able to run the bases, hit the ball to all fields, and manufacture runs. Because they're going to play solid defense, and they're going to make you earn those runs. And I think that's a real typical part of what this ball club has success for, is because they make opponents earn their runs each and every game, and that's how they stay in more ball games throughout the year.
He's Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher, joining me tonight on Brewers Extra Innings. That catch, non-catch by Ciani that kept the game alive, Augie, on the hit by Adames. I mean, they had to look at it on the replay, and after seeing it the first time, it's like, well, he didn't catch it. Then you look at the replay and go, well, maybe he caught it long enough. I don't know. I mean, when you saw it at first blush, what did you think, catch or no catch?
Well, the rule in baseball is that you have to show it. You have to show the glove that you've got the ball. And I think what happened is when Ciani went the ball, he kind of looked like he turned the glove over.
Yeah.
And when he turned the glove over, it opened up and the ball came out. I think because he turned the ball glove over and the ball coming out, that was a sign that it was a no catch. I think if he would have been able to not turn the glove over, maybe held on to the ball a little bit longer. But his momentum made him turn that glove over and the ball scooted out. You have to show that you catch the ball. Once I saw the replay, I knew that the umpires were probably going to say it was going to be a no catch because he did not show the ball in the glove.
Yeah, I mean, he's skidding, Augie, and you can see he clearly has the ball. It's not a trap. He's got the ball in the glove as he's skidding. But I think you're right. When he tried to turn the glove to show it, if he stays on the ground, Augie, I think he completes that catch because he just stays there and then eventually gets up and shows the baseball. I think that is what caused the replay, which is what caused it to be a no catch. But if he stays on the ground, that's probably a catch, right?
I agree with you. I think if it just so happened, it was so funny to see how he caught that ball, because he caught it and then he started rolling a little bit, and I think he was kind of undecided what he was going to do, whether he was going to try to just continue to slide or show the glove. And I think he tried to show the ball in the glove, and that's when the ball popped out, and that's when it became a no catch.
Very strange. It extended the game one more inning, at least into the 12th, but the Cardinals were able to go on and win it with a 3 spot in the top of the 12th and win tonight's game in 12 innings, 7-4. More with Augie in just a moment with a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank, also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. More of Brewers Extra Innings when we return.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Seven-4, Redbirds over the Brewers tonight at American Family Field in 12 innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night. It's Brewers Extra Innings with former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. Augie, that weird play that kept the game alive on the catch, no catch, turned out to be an RBI for Willy Adames. Number 100 for Willy Adames. What a year he is having, partner.
Yeah, he really is. He's come through for this team. You look at what he's done. He's now on a 12-game hitting streak, and during that hitting streak, he's got 7 home runs and 15 RBIs, 100 RBIs. This guy has just, throughout the year, has come through so big for this ball club. When you need a clutch hit, you need something late in the game to have a good at-bat, he has come through for this ball club. And, you know, he's a guy who hasn't sat out for one game. I think this guy wants to play to 162 all total. But I'll tell you, each and every day he comes to the ballpark, he plays, and when he crosses the lines, he has more fun than anybody in the game of baseball. But you can really tell it the way he plays and the way he's performed for the Brewers this year.
Yeah, Augie, I don't know if when you're watching Willie this season, if you can see anything mechanically different. Maybe it's just an attitude that is different. You know, a more aggressive approach, but not the swing and the miss en masse that we've seen from Willie so far. But in general, what have you seen about his approach that has been a difference maker at the plate?
Well, I think in the field, he's always just going to be the same. He's just so good in the field. He just goes, gets everything. He knows how to make the right moves and make the great plays. And, you know, everybody once in a while makes that errant throw. But I think at the plate, I think coming into spring training, one of the things he said he wanted to be was more patient at the plate, be able to take more pitches, be able to take walks and not be overly aggressive and be able to hit the ball where it's pitched. And I think that's one thing that as players go on in their careers, they go through a year and they analyze themselves and say, where was I really good this year and where can I get better? And those guys that can get better do little things to make themselves better. And I think this year he's become very, very patient at the plate. He understands what he wants to do. I think he has a better understanding too how pitchers are pitching him, and he understands it real well. So when he goes to play, he has a good idea how he wants to approach it. And I think that's made a big difference. Just the patience at the plate and understanding the strike zone has been a big difference that I see in Willy Adames this year.
Yeah, Augie, go back to like maybe when you were head coach at UW-Milwaukee and you were not only in charge of the pitching, but you had basically everybody in front of you. And when young hitters like that would come to you, or they would come to somebody on your staff and they would say something similar about, I need to be more patient. Is that easier said than done for hitters? They just say it and it happens? Or how do you work through that mechanically so that you are more patient?
You just got to go up there. And I think sometimes when you go up there, you have to understand how teams are pitching you. And, you know, it's a little different on the college level than it is on a major league level. Or in a college level, you only see a team once or twice during the season. It makes it very difficult. But when you get on a major league level, you see the guys so many times and you see a routine of how pitchers are pitching you. And they say, oh, here's where I've been making outs. And I think with all the things that they have for baseball, in that they have today, with big guys being able to go watch how they're swinging the bat, how their approach is, what they're swinging at, I think that really makes a big impact on how people can adjust. And I think even on the college level, there was sometimes we always used to use in college level that anytime there's runners on second and third, the pitcher's going to throw slow stuff early, hard stuff late. Mm-hmm. And that's what we used to do at UWM. That's what we used to use, and we were very successful with that. But on the major league level, it's a little bit different. You can't go with that because the pitcher will pitch to where he thinks his strengths are and your weaknesses are when he gets to those tough situations.
Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher, joining us tonight on Brewer's Extra Innings. One more tidbit here on Adames, Augie, to get your thoughts. Is he pricing himself out of staying a Milwaukee Brewer? I mean, he's having such a banner. I mean, now you reach the 100 RBI mark. That is going to leave an impression on other teams. They're watching him be more patient. They know he's a good fielder. They know about the power. They know about the patience. But does all this kind of price him out and maybe he goes and gets the probably last big contract of his career?
I think he probably will get his last big contract of his career the way he's been playing baseball this year. But, I don't think that's Willy Adames. I think he loves the game so much. And every time you see him when he crosses the line, I've never seen anybody smile more than anybody on the baseball field that's really into the game, that understands, that wants to be an impact on whatever he does in the game. Maybe his impact isn't going to be great every day, but he's going to go out and try to help the team win any way he can. And I think when you're Willy Adames right now and you're thinking about your future, yes, maybe you think about, I'm at the end of my contract here in Milwaukee, something may big happen. But I don't think that's what's on his mind right now. I think what's on his mind is what he can do and what he has to do best to help this team. He knows he's one of the leaders on this ball club. He knows he has such a huge impact on this team, not only on the field, but off the field and with the young players. So I think he is more geared up to say, hey, I'd rather go right now and win a World Series and get to a World Series. That would be the best thing that could happen to me in my career, and then worry about what happens after.
Yeah, one day at a time, one contract at a time. Final thoughts on Loggy when we return on Brewers Extra Innings.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Fitting, because the Brewers needed extra innings to play their game against the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at American Family Field. St. Louis comes out on top with three runs in the 12th to win it 7-4. Bob Brainerd in for Dom and Jerry Augustine joining me. Augie, you had a big football game tonight before joining us on Brewers Extra Innings. How did that go tonight?
Grandson's team, Muskego freshman, they won. They beat Slinger. I think it was 28-14 or something like that. But my grandson played good. He played a linebacker, had a few tackles, recovered a fumble. I'm very proud of him.
Oh, nice. And I taught you the mascot of Slinger is what?
The owl.
Yes, the owls. So Augie was double dipping. He did that. Then he caught the Brewer game, and so now he's joining us here. And Augie and I were kind of kicking this around earlier this afternoon, the fact that it's kind of strange that there's sort of this anticlimactic finish to September because the Brewers have this big lead. Now, mind you, Brewer fans don't mind having the big lead, Augie, but you think about all the times that they've gone to the postseason, that they have won the division or got a wild card spot. It's been white knuckle time. It's gone down to the last week or sometimes the last day of the year. This is really different, isn't it?
It really is. It puts them in a position that, you know, that you can really set things up and you can get rest for your players. And it's a different position that the Brewer organization has ever been in. In fact, it's the first time in history that they've had a season like this and they played so well. The last month of the season is always a tough type part of the season, no matter where you are, whether you're fighting for a playoff spot or not. And they still have that opportunity of maybe getting a bye. And I think that's one thing that they're going to have to work for. But it's interesting the way this team is playing. I just looked at with the games that they have left, 24 games that they have left. They have 9 on the road and 15 at home. And of those games that they have to play, 18 of them, I believe, are against teams who are contending for a possible playoff spot.
Right.
So there's not going to be anything easy that's coming up in the rest of the month of September.
Yeah, you're playing teams like the Diamondbacks a lot, you know, out in Phoenix and at American Family Field. You're going to play the Mets in the final three-game series of the year. You've got San Francisco back out west coming up. You're finishing up here with St. Louis. Yeah, there are teams that are going to be maybe not like Milwaukee because they have that big lead, fortunately, but they're all fighting and clawing for wild cards or possible divisions. So, yeah, you're going to be facing teams that are hungry, Augie, and that may make this a bit of an uphill climb to get one of those top two seeds, won't it?
It will be. And I think it's going to be so interesting because when you look at the NL East, you look at the NL East with the Phillies and the Braves over there, they're going to be fighting neck and neck. Who knows if the Phillies are even going to win the division? The Braves are starting to play pretty good baseball. You look out west and you got the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants are playing pretty decent. And now the D-backs all of a sudden pop right up and they're right back where they were last year. So, and you're playing these teams. So I think each division is really going to it's going to be a nice battle, not only for who gets into the playoffs, but who's going to get that bye. I think it's going to go right down to the end. It'll be nice if the Brewers could really have a good finish to the season.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing that spot where you get that bye, that would be huge for this ball club.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Phillies, Augie. I didn't mention the Phillies. That's going to be a huge, crucial three-game series at American Family Field in a couple weeks because, again, those are a couple teams that are probably jockeying for the 2 and 3 spot, and that's a big difference to be 2 or 3. In there, Augie, you also mentioned the final month of the season, and it's important for playoff teams to also have rest. But how do you balance that off, Augie, to rest guys, but also keep putting that, you know, pedal to the metal because there is that carrot there to try to get that first round bye? How do you balance that if you're Murph?
Well, I think this is where you have to really credit Pat Murphy because the way he has played this team all year is almost like you play in September when you have a good lead for a playoff spot. Everybody gets rest. Everybody gets into games. Everybody gets a day off. You might see some guys that, except for probably Willy Adames, that will get days off and have that opportunity. And he's done that. And the one reason he does that, he wants to keep everybody fresh. He wants everybody to have the opportunity to get at bats, to do the things you have to do to stay ready. And I think that you have to credit Pat Murphy with that because he's not only going to do it probably in the final month of the season of September and get everybody equal time playing, get them their at-bats, their rest, their innings that they need to pitch, but he's also going to make sure that those guys are going to line up and be prepared for the season after the season's over for the playoffs. And I think you really have to credit him as really smart thinking on his part to start in the beginning that way and continue out through the season because I think it will pay off and to keep the guys a lot fresher as you get into the playoff season.
Well, I'm not Pat Murphy, but I'm going to give you some rest, Augie, by cutting you loose. Thanks for joining us here on Brewers Extra Innings, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Oh, it's great being with you, Bob. Take care.
When we come back, Pat Murphy talks over the long 3+ hour tilt at American Family Field.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Well, it was an entertaining game. It was a long game. It was an extra inning game. St. Louis won it in extras. 12 innings, in fact. 3+ hours to play, and St. Louis wins it 7-4. They'll have the rubber match tomorrow night at American Family Field. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Bob Brainerd, in for Dom on this Tuesday night. Pat Murphy chatting up with the assembled media after the contest to talk about this one.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, overall the... you know, you credit the St. Louis pitching if you want, because I think they did a really nice job, and I think we just it wasn't our normal output. Wasn't our normal output in my mind. Yeah.
Do you think that's just baseball, Murph, or when you have two games like that kind of close together, does it get under your skin a little bit?
It's under my skin. Obviously, I take it maybe too personal. That's just me. No, I still, you know, I love the guys. I don't really get mad at the guys, and it's more about you wish they understood how they're capable of staying mentally tough there. And I just felt like, you know, like we had some, you know, we faced some good pitching too. You know, you talk about the stuff of Libertor, the stuff of Helsley, you know, that stuff's really, really good. So you can second guess and try to overdo it, but we know those players very, very well. We know their moves. They know our moves. They did some good things at the end execute, and we didn't. A lot of good things. I mean, a lot of, you know, Ashby came in and pitched well again. And Savali settled down after inning one, but we gave him a, you know, 2-run lead after 3 or 4 hard contacts.
One of the big spots was that Terang at bat in the 10th or the 11th.
Yeah.
Was the goal to get a bunt down early, or was that?
Well, I mean, it's part of his thing. No, it wasn't for show. I mean, if he had the right pitch to bunt on, he would have got it down like he normally does. But that's a good play for him there with the infield drawn in. So after he got the one strike, then he went to hit, and then the ball didn't get over the pitcher's head. Good. It's the same ball he hit in St. Louis or in Cincinnati the other day. Didn't get over his head. He's been swinging the bat very well and lining out a bunch. He lined out yesterday, lined out shortstop, opened the game, lined out to first. So I felt like, yeah, a good time. They can counter, too. If we go with Monasterio or something like that, they counter. So it was just a matter of not getting it done.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. And, kind of shrugging it off, not really upset. And when you have a big lead in the division, like the Brewers have, you just kind of chalk it up. And it's a one-game losing streak, so no big deal. Again, they'll get after it again with St. Louis to close out the season series with the Redbirds tomorrow night back at American Family Field. When we return, Milwaukee had just 5 hits in the ball game. So how did they drag this out and make it a 12-inning affair? We'll let you know with the highlights next on Brewers Extra Innings.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
All right, again, just 5 base hits, but somehow it went 12 innings. Here's how that happened. St. Louis had a 2-0 lead, but in the third inning, Milwaukee bats get to work, starting off with Joey Ortiz.
2-1. Hit in the air deep in the left field. Nuthbar is going to go back onto the track. Nuthbar right in front of the wall looks up. It's gone. Joey Ortiz with a leadoff home run in the third. Just over the wall in left. And the Brewers have gotten on the board. It's a 2-1 game.
And it wasn't 2-1 for very long because Jackson Churio came to the plate. Can you guess what happened?
Full boat on Churio. Payoff. Hit deep into center field. Ciani backtracking. He's on the track in right center at the wall. She is gone and we are tied. Jackson Churio again.
What a season the rookie is having. Only 20 years old and closing in on a 2020 season. Amazing. In the fifth inning, trailing 3-2, it was Jackson Chourio time again.
Fernandez working from the stretch. Looks back at second and the pitch. Lined into left. This is going to get down and roll all the way into the corner. Terang around third. He will score. Misplayed in the corner by Nootbaar. So Chourio on his way to third. And he's in there standing up. Jackson Chourio, the highlights continue.
Unfortunately, he was stranded at third. So the game was tied at three there. And it stayed tied at three all the way into extra innings. The Brewers, though, kept it alive after trailing 4-3 in the 11th inning. Willie Adames came up, and all this happened.
0-2 pitch. Flied into center field. Ciani coming on, goes into a dive. Ciani can't hold on. It was in his glove. It came out as he hit the grass. The tying run scores, and Willie makes it to second base. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Cardinals thought it was unbelievable. Well, they thought Ciani had the catch. They replayed it. MLB said, nope, he did not make the catch after he skidded to the ground and tried to show it. So Adames gets the RBI double. That was RBI number 100 this season for Willie Adames. The Cardinals ended this contest with three runs in the top of the 12th inning. I am not going to play highlights of them. I'll just have to let you take my word for it. 7-4 was the final score. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll get you ready for Game 3 between the Beer Masters and the Redbirds tomorrow night.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Monkey. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It took the Brewers extra innings, but St. Louis prevailed tonight at American Family Field. Final score was 7-4. Welcome back to wrap things up. I'm Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday. Dom will be back to wrap up things on the third and final game of this three-game series. Checking the standings right now in the National League, and Milwaukee, of course, still has the comfy, cozy lead in the NL Central, so we won't bother with that. What we will bother with is the top three spots with the top three division leaders. That's the Dodgers, Phillies, and the Brewers. Dodgers are going to extra innings with the Angels now in the 10th inning, tied at two. They have the top spot right now in the National League. Phillies have the number two spot at the moment because the Phillies rallied to win tonight. And with Milwaukee's loss, Phillies' record now is 82-56. Milwaukee now 81-58. So the Phillies have one more win than Milwaukee, but two less losses. That is why maybe the Dodgers pull away here down the stretch, but that number two spot, so coveted, so valuable, and in a couple weeks at American Family Field, three-game set as the Phillies come to play in Milwaukee against the Brewers, that could be huge. It could have playoff implications and first-round bye implications as well, so that one will be huge. Moving forward tomorrow to wrap up this series with the St. Louis Cardinals. The pitchers, probable pitchers, will be Sonny Gray for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's 12-9 with an ERA of 3.96, 179 strikeouts so far for Sonny Gray. He will take on Colin Ray of Milwaukee, 12-4. What a year he is having on the bump for the Brewers. An ERA of 3.70 and 118 strikeouts for Colin Ray. Pre-game show can be heard starting at 6:05 and the first pitch scheduled for 6:40 right here on 620 WTMJ and along the Brewers statewide network. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of Brewers Extra Innings. For my partner, Jerry Augustine, tonight, for Max Meyerson, pressing all the right buttons tonight, I'm Bob Brainerd, bidding you a great evening, Brewer fans.